being responsible for myself and not expecting somebody would just show up and pick me up. Yeah, I definitely will be going to professors one-on-one, not through the DSS offices. I look forward to just having more of a do-it-yourself mentality. Something I've learned since Blind Inc. is not just independence, but interdependence. So how to take what you know, do the best you can with it, but then add to it with what other people might know and might be able to do better. So really, the program just gave me a lot of higher expectations of myself, where I learned a lot was in that discomfort. So you do things and you see what works, and then you learn what doesn't work and how to ask people for help. And if you want to give me a chance, I can show you that the blindness, quote unquote, issue is not really an issue.
You're currently enrolled in, let me get this right, Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis.
You got it. IUPUI. Yep. Or UIPUI for short.
UIPUI, yes.
Welcome to another Blind Abilities Teamcast presentation. The TeenCast presentations are for transition-age students and people who want to learn about what it is like to transition from high school as they prepare for college, as they get ready for the marketplace, the journeys from college to fellowships to even going abroad. These are typically students from age 14 to 21 who are looking for the future, and Blind Abilities TeenCast is a lending hand, people sharing experiences and advice to help them get through the journey ahead. And today, Lori Thompson interviews Christopher Meyer, who transitioned from high school to college, but took a little break and went to Blind Incorporated in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a blindness training center, where they spend 9 months learning skills and gaining confidence to use them. Christopher also spent a year at college, then took a fellowship in Germany. He was one of the first persons ever to take this fellowship journey, and all the experiences that he gained from it, he brings back and talks to us about it on this podcast. So join Lori Thompson and Christopher Meyer as he takes us through his journey, his experiences, and the lessons he's learned and wants to share with you. We hope you enjoy.
Hi, this is Lori Thompson with Blind Abilities. I am interviewing a very special person that I've known for a few years. His name is Christopher Meyer. And he is from Indiana, and he has just traveled abroad for a full year in Germany, and he is going to talk to us today about his high school experience, his college experience, and his study abroad experience. So welcome, Chris. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Thank you.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience in high school? Did you go to a mainstream school, or did you go to a blind school?
A normal integrated high school, and I was in a class of about 400 when we graduated, 400 students graduating class. So.
Wow. So yeah. Did you have, how was the teachers? Did they accommodate you pretty well?
Yeah, the high school was pretty new to having fully integrated blind students. The experience was kind of a new one for the entire county, because we'd been moved around from one school to another. The public school that we landed in for high school did a really good job. When I say we, also just clarifying, I have two older sisters who are also blind. They went through the same high school as I did. So I think by the time I came around, the teachers were pretty much convinced of blind students being capable and intelligent in the classroom.
That's awesome. So I'm sure you've learned Braille and you've had O&M and, you know, you use special technology to accommodate your needs, right?
Right.
So what types of things do you use?
I use the long white cane, the normal screen reading setup. For most people, that's JAWS or VoiceOver. I have both. And then I've got the iPhone Braille Note Apex. And then I use adaptive techniques for cooking, homekeeping, and just your run-of-the-mill adaptive technique stuff.
So when you left high school, did you go right into college?
No. Most of it was, most of what I learned with regard to the adaptive techniques came through the Blind Ink program in Minneapolis. I was there for the full adult program, 9 months long, immersive. Yeah, I was there right out of high school. I was pretty unsure of college decisions, so I figured, why not put it off for 2 semesters and go and do something exciting in the Twin Cities? And I really enjoyed it.
Now, do you think that really helped a lot with your going into college, your travels abroad?
Yeah, it was huge. I think the biggest takeaway from the program in terms of contributing to the future and to my confidence was in being able to pick up and move to another city, figure out how to get integrated into a new neighborhood, especially coming from rural Midwest part of the country where I'm from. Moving to a bustling big city was a big change. Being able to take public transit and rely on a service like that rather than expecting people to drive me everywhere brought a lot of freedom and just really gave me more of a view of the world in which I could go where I wanted when I needed to go places, being responsible for myself and not expecting somebody would just show up and pick me up, you know, when it was on their schedule or when, you know, I could piece it together. So really the program just gave me a lot of higher expectations of myself and a lot more flexibility with new situations.
That's good. That's awesome. You're currently enrolled in, let me get this right, Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis.
You got it. IUPUI. Yep. It's a long one.
Yeah, it is.
Or UIPUI for short.
UIPUI, yes. So what have you decided to study?
Okay, I started in the Kelly School of Business at IU. That lasted for about a year, and then I realized my values and goals are much more directed toward public service sector. So I changed from the for-profit business to the not-for-profit business, which people like to say is a lot easier because you're not in it because you don't have to make the profit. But I actually find it to be very challenging and rewarding work.
What do you think the biggest challenges being in a position like that would be? Do you think it would be just society, you know, educating people about, you know, your ability?
In the career?
Yeah.
I'd say specific to blindness, some challenges are inherently with networking. I think that as a blind person, for me, there are some challenges just in recognizing people physically just by their facial expressions. I can't do those sorts of things by their appearance. It's hard to size somebody up. And in the nonprofit sector, especially as an executive, you have a lot of encounters with people on a very short basis. So you're going to board meetings, you're going to town hall meetings, you're speaking with mayors and, you know, civil society folks. I think that's one of the big ones. Another one would be just bringing the right skill set into job interviews that you, I think the best thing to do is to eliminate any sort of hesitation just based on your blindness out of the gate. So the best way to do that is to do well with training, for me, it was to get some job experience, some work experience at the university, and also through the Blind Ink program. So you can do a lot of things that, though you may have a disability, the employer, potential employer, will see that you've paid attention to your own skill set and done some work to, want to say compensate for mm-hmm. them accordingly.
Yeah, you really have to sell yourself.
Yeah.
You've got to be confident and be able to articulate your abilities to really sell yourself.
Right. And I think that maybe taking a bit from out of the Germany playbook, so skipping forward a little bit, just what I've observed in Germany is there are different ways, different strategies for job interviews and that type of thing. One is to go in, pretty boldly and, but another approach is to just keep it, just show confidence, but without overstating, because I think that's also a tendency is if you're going there and saying too much of what you can do or what you can't do, people may take it as they'll be appreciative, but they might actually say, well, what is it? They may wonder what if perception is reality. So
exactly.
I like to find sort of a balance there and say, just clear the air and say, these may be your concerns regarding my blindness. I see those are valid, but if you've not had a blind employee, but I've done this and this to mitigate for that and to make up for that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to give me a chance, I can show you that the blindness quote unquote issue is not really an issue.
So your study abroad last year in Germany, it pertained to what you are, your end result.
A program through the State Department, the U.S. State Department and U.S. Congress, exchanging 75 young professionals with the German equivalent of parliament, what you would call a German parliament. And the program is specifically for young professionals across a range of careers. So I was the only one from the nonprofit sector, but several others were doing similar work with civil society or with healthcare or some of those other areas I just mentioned.
How did you apply? Was it something that was through the school that you found out through the school, or you just was reading about it, or you knew someone that had done it, or how did you find out?
I specifically found out about the program, the name of which, by the way, is Congress Bundestag Youth Exchange. CBYX is the acronym there. The application for me came through the university. I also did a German minor at IUPUI, so I was already interested in Germany. I've lived in Germany prior to the program. I have German family still there, still in the country. So anyway, my interest was in Germany, and then the applications came through the German language department, and it was pretty straightforward. It was competitive application. I think the number of applicants this year was somewhere around 700 for the portion of the program I was in. From 700, we had the basic application, which included a few short essays, two letters of recommendation, some personal details, and a resume and transcripts from the university. And then that just went down to 150 candidate pool. That was the final round of interviews, and that was actually where I was confident in myself once I made it to that round, mm-hmm. to the mm-hmm. final round, because I trust my interviewing skills. Like I said, I gave some tips already about how to do that well. Just caring about what the interviewer might be looking for, and demonstrating the skills that they're looking for. So for me, it wasn't as much about the blindness thing because we were doing a panel interview. So I know I'm getting a little into the details.
No, that's fine. That's awesome.
Okay, so we had a panel interview, and there were five adults involved with the fellowship, and they were interviewing, I think, three of us at a time. And it was a neat experience because you would just pay attention to the dynamics. And as a blind person, that's really not hard. You just pay attention. I mean, there are visual cues, I'm sure, but you hear so much more of the tone of voice and the, I think, what the person is maybe looking for in the questions that they're asking. Because that's the thing about interviews. The interviewer isn't just asking a simple question and you're filling in the blank like a Google search. You are giving them information that will either be positive or negative for you. And I think that's very important to remember. So I just really enjoyed it and got to show off some of my journalism skills, which isn't necessary for the program, but they enjoyed talking German with me. And afterward, I had high expectations I would make it to the program, which I did. Find out that I did the following month or 2 months later.
Wow. So how accommodating were the teachers in the university that you were attending over there?
That's a million-dollar question. It's hard to say because on one hand, university provides pretty good services directly to the blind student, but they are very detached from the academic side of the university. So in the U.S., we have more of an integrated model where teachers send syllabi, course material, books, reading lists to the disability services.
Yeah.
In Germany, it's very different. You do it all on your own. And that's not just for blind students. That's a bureaucratic thing for every student. They're very responsible for their own academic performance, whereas in the U.S. we're a little more dependent and a little more supported by the administration. So anyway, long story short, it wasn't very accommodating. There were a lot of things that I had to do. So finding the books at the library and bringing them myself, asking a friend to help me pick out, make sure that I grabbed the right forms and fill them out. It was definitely a challenge to my independence, or rather a test of my independence, I guess, because the system there is just, it's much more bureaucratic, and they don't have the same like customer service mentality that they do here in the U.S. where, you know, you pay for your education and therefore they're going to give you a good education. So
right.
It was tough.
Yeah. So do you ever wish you didn't go, or are you glad you went?
Great question. I can't imagine not going. Granted, I've only been back 2 weeks, so It's very fresh in memory. But actually, that will become more when you have a big experience like this. It crystallizes over time, and more becomes clear to you as you move past from it. That's very true of blind ink. That's very true of a year abroad. It's very true of any phase of life. Hindsight is 20/20, and you. So I would say right now, there are moments where I think, yeah, it was really a tough year. I mean, there were things in the second phase of the program where I was interning and I was running a refugee assistance program teaching German, the German language to refugees through a Christian organization. There were times in that program I did not think it was going to work, and I was very frustrated with myself. And how I was going to pull it off was completely unclear to me. I'm still thankful for the opportunity to go. I mean, I feel very blessed for it. I spend a lot of time talking to people beforehand, praying about it, and just preparing myself. And I would be a fool, I think, to be regretful of the struggles or to look down on my decision to go because it didn't turn out always, you know, exactly how I expected it to. And that's something year itself, I didn't have the hindsight or the insight to say that. But now I think I have a bit more clarity, and I can say I learned really how to like go to a job where I didn't know how it was going to end up each day and try my best, even though I didn't think I was doing well enough, and see my own capacity increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it was a really great experience. It took you out of your comfort zone, like you said. You had to rely on yourself, so you had to, reach deep down inside you and pull out all these abilities that you didn't think you had, but you did have them, and it just reassured your confidence, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it built me up by breaking me down in a sort of surprising, odd sort of way.
So would you recommend the program for other blind students?
Highly. I was the first blind person to do this program. Their program has run for 31 years now, and they've had over 10,000 participants through the full program, because about almost 500 go each year in the full program. Mine was one of those sections. Anyway, so being the first one, I had probably more built-in barriers than others with the university and with some of the internship stuff, but I had a lot of support from the fellowship organization itself. So the people who were in charge of me, there was a nonprofit that did that work over there. And I would say they did a very good job. They really tried their best. And I would absolutely recommend the program. It's called, like I said, Congress Bundestag, BUNDESTAG, Youth Exchange for Young Professionals. So It's a great program. And the coolest thing about it is it's funded. So you pay about maybe $250, $350, something like that out of pocket just for living expenses, but you don't pay for the semester, you don't pay for the flights over there, you don't pay for your health care coverage. You are very well taken care of.
That's awesome. So did you stay with a host family or did you stay in a dorm?
Personally, I was in a host family situation, similar to a renting situation where, or almost like a boarding situation where you live in a home, but you're kind of doing your own thing. You have your own room. So there were others who lived on campus housing, in dorms. There were some that lived with professors. There were a few that even lived with politicians from the Bundestag that were supporters, sponsors of the program. Those were the luckiest ones because then they were in on all the, they were invited to, private councils, private political meetings. They were invited to very neat, public ceremonies. And I was invited to those as well. And we actually met the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel.
Wow.
And we were in a session of the German Parliament, sat in the special seating there, heard the president of the Parliament speak a special address to us. And then we also, in Germany, we met the U.S. Ambassador to Germany, and respectively, we met the German ambassador to the U.S. while we were in Washington, D.C.
Wow, that's impressive.
So, yeah, very cool.
So, what city were you in?
Cologne, Germany.
So, how much research did you do? I've heard that the public transportation in Germany is excellent. Is that true?
Yeah, it really is. It makes me jealous when you come back. Mm-hmm. Cologne's in the most populous part of Europe, so the highest population density. Therefore, it has a really good train network. Also, quick tip for any blind people interested in, residence in Germany. As a blind person, you get completely free access to the public transportation network.
Wow.
So you can take anything but the high-speed trains on the public network across the whole country. Students get that free in their state already. So in North Rhine-Westphalia, any student got that, but I could do that in all 16 of the German federal states.
Wow.
Yeah. So great network and, really nice trains too, for people who are a little nerdy about trains like I am. They have some really nice ones.
Mm-hmm. So walking down the street, the sidewalks are, do they have I call them braille bumps on the edge of the sidewalk. Do they have, cut out curves? Because, some countries they're not as accommodating for people.
It's funny that you ask that, because in some areas Germany is really accommodating, really advanced, like the train network and how that integrates with the tram light rails and how, or the long distance trains and the near distance trains and the bus networks and all that. They work really well. For some reason, there are certain things like curb cuts mm-hmm. that I was so frustrated not to find, because as a blind person, I don't necessarily need them. And they can actually be off-putting. They can be confusing as a totally blind person to use. Mm-hmm. But if you're wheelchair bound, those are vital. And I was very surprised that they didn't have those. The braille bumps, I think they're called truncated domes.
Yeah.
I think they have those in some places, but another system that they have is very interesting. It's sort of they call it a lead system for blind people, and it's a raised line of, a raised strip of these lines made up sort of a plaster or something. They have it especially in public buildings running all over the place. And they're these lines running at right angles. So just straight, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. 90 degree turn leading from, for example, the bathroom to the elevator, or leading from the entrance to the elevator, or, that sort of thing. So it's interesting because in some areas they do really well. And then in others, it's like, they just didn't think about it. So,
right.
Also one thing that's very different in much of Europe is they use the audible pedestrian signals like it's their job. The signals are probably at like 90% of large intersections in Germany that I saw. And then even in smaller parts of the cities, they have these touch ones. They're not tactile. They don't vibrate or make noise, but you walk up, you touch it, and it will change the signal. So it's not audible, but it's also for sighted and blind people, which I think is pretty, at times they were helpful. But I will say my favorite ones were in Dublin. When I traveled to Dublin, Ireland, they have these ones that sound literally like, They sound kind of like the pod racers on Star Wars Episode 1. And they would like shoot you. They would make this little sound that sounds like you're being told to run across the intersection. And it was like, pew!
You're getting ready to start your junior year. So I imagine after your last year in Germany, you're going to be scanning every book you have on your own. You're probably not going to go to the disability service office at all because you got this.
Yeah. Probably, I'll probably just tell them they're fired and send them home. I will probably keep using the services when they're actually timely and mm-hmm. when the quality is good. I have to say at IU, they have really good service. I'm very impressed, and I've only had problems with the German language and the mathematics courses, but I definitely will be going to professors one-on-one, not through the DSS offices. I probably will also just be seeking out more of my own study groups, which I didn't do as much my first time around, but I look forward to just having more of a do-it-yourself mentality.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And I think that's really important. So, you know, advocating for yourself, and you probably learned a lot of that when you were over there in Germany, just advocating for yourself. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that's something that I think throughout your life, you never stop advocating for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's at school or when you're employed or, you know, anything really. You know, you never know what kind of situation is going to come up where you're going to have to advocate for yourself.
And I would add to that, to use to network and to use the network that you have well. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, relationships are important, no matter if they're benefiting you or not. People are worth more time than sometimes. You know, sometimes you have 24 hours in a day, and people are asking for 25 hours of your day. And I think it's important to pay attention to who you know. And when you have an issue, don't just think, oh man, I don't know how to solve this. I'm going to go to my boss 10 times out of 10. Think about, you know, who do I know who's working in a similar field, or who do I know who's working in a completely different area? You know, maybe my friend is studying art history, and I'm trying to figure out how to solve, you know, some sort of engineering equation. He might have a really creative solution. And I think it's important to, I mean, for me, I'm coming back and I know 100 people in some really interesting work, but in a country, you know, 4,000 miles away in Germany. How am I going to use that, that resource in the coming decades? I mean, these are people mm-hmm. that they're not just friends, but they're, you know, intelligent professionals. And I think that's important. So advocacy is one thing, but, I will say something I've learned since Blind Inc. is not just independence, but interdependence. So how to take what you know, do the best you can with it, but then add to it with what other people might know and might be able to do better. I think it's great just to keep, to try to help others as well as yourself. So that's why I've done work with blind organizations in Indiana, so NFB, Lions Club, School for the Blind, post-secondary researchers in the blindness fields here in Indiana at IU and similar universities, just because I have been given a lot and I've been blessed incredibly, and I want to make sure that it's not just me, but that others are benefiting and that there's more of a we mentality. So we've done student programs, we've done summer programs, we've done some work with the student division through NFB, and there are other programs just for people who just to make sure that you're giving to people as much as you've been given, because I think that's more of a blessing in the end anyway.
Right. As you're going forward in your life, what kind of advice would you have for transitional students that are getting ready to transition from high school to college?
I think I've said some already. You mentioned the advocacy, and just speaking up for yourself. And I definitely would second that. And then I add networking to that and you know, finding smart people to be around so that, you're not solving everything with a hammer when it should be solved with, you know, a wrench or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I think specific to that transitional student, because that is, in some ways where I still am. I mean, where anybody is, if they're, you know, 18 to 24, 25, we're all just trying to get a foot up on the ladder and trying to figure out where that ladder is even going.
Right.
So I think it's important to not rush, don't push your agenda so quickly that you are just trying to be doing something all the time, because a lot of times it's better to go at your pace and make sure that you're really absorbing rather than at somebody else's pace and forgetting everything that you should be learning. I don't think you need to be done with college at 22. I will not be at 22 and going into my junior year. So if you're going to do something, do it well. And if you're going to take a break, do it well.
Yeah.
I think regarding choosing your degree is to consider what kind of career you are going to be. What do you see as a lifelong fulfillment for you? That can mean good paycheck or not a good paycheck. It could mean six figures, or it could mean, you know, somewhere in the five figures, but you're maybe a little happier. I think it's important to be around blind people who are setting high expectations of you. That's what I got from Blind Inc., was putting low expectations aside and seeing other people who are more than competent and trying to walk in their footsteps. And then at the same time, get out of that, out of their shadow at some point and in some ways and say, okay, I've learned this, this, and this, and now it's my turn to get out there. So that's where I was at in Germany, and where I learned a lot was in that discomfort. So you know, you do things and you see what works, and then you learn what doesn't work and how to ask people for help. So that's what I would probably suggest to any of these young people.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about your educational experience here in the States and abroad. I think you've given a lot of great information for transitional students to pursue, studying abroad. And so would you be willing to give your contact information so that if maybe someone has some questions or something, or maybe they want to contact you and find out more information, they can?
All right. Christopher is, I'll read it out and then I'll spell it. Christopher.Meyer007, as in at gmail.com. So christopher.Meyer007@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you. I hope that you have a wonderful year this year.
Thanks, Lori and Jeff, and thank you to the whole team.
Thank you.
And I wish you guys all the best, especially for those young students figuring their place out in the world.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris, so much.
Blind Abilities would like to thank Andre Louis for his wonderful music. You can follow Andre on Twitter at FreakyFooth. Blind Abilities Teencast is produced by Blind Abilities for State Services for the Blind of Minnesota. And you can find more about State Services on the web at www.mnssb.org. We hope you enjoyed.